Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. We are playing Curse of Strahd, the Death House, and we are reaching the end of the game. We really are this time. I know I've said it a lot, but we promise we are.
We promise, guys.
The party have explored the attic, finding the ghostly figure of the nursemaid clutching a stillborn baby. Deciding to rile the beast, the paladin step forward, unleashing her fury. They took terrible damage, but struck her back. Sneak attacks, magic missiles, and just general weapons. Managed to defeat her, and the party explored the attic, finding two skeletons, the two children that were locked in their room and seemingly starved to death. And also a doll's house, an exact replica of the death house itself. Looking at the replica, they found a secret staircase leading into the basement. Unfortunately, Ulrich decided to go exploring on his own, and the ghost of the nursemaid had actually not been dispatched, but had just gone ethereal, and she dived on the lone figure, sending him unconscious. She was quickly dispatched, and Ulrich used the rest of his healing power to restore himself to half health. And the party have just stepped down into the staircase, heading down into the basement. The spiral staircase reeks of ancient smoke and some sort of vile charnel stench rising deep from the bowels of the house. It is completely pitch black, so those of you without dark vision are going to really struggle down here.
I have dark vision. Does anyone else?
Pretty sure. Elves have dark vision, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I do. As a halfling.
And I don't believe Dragonborn do either.
Are there any light sources ahead of us as we go down this?
No, it's completely pitch black. Yeah.
Dragonborn don't have dark vision either.
No, I didn't think they did.
Mr. Vizard, could you provide some light?
I don't have anything to give light. Could we break a leg off a chair up above and wrap one of those cloths around it and make a torch?
I think you could definitely fashion torches with various things, probably in your adventurer's packs and and from things you've found, definitely.
You can cast grease all over the ends of
Okay,
so I'm never using grease again.
You managed to fashion crude torches. I'm going to say that they're not as good as the torches you'd buy from sort of an adventurer's shop. So they're only going to give a sputtering 15-foot light around you. And you make your way down the spiral staircase. Can I get a rough idea of marching order? Who's going to go first?
Solvarax.
I love how I'm the spearhead in this group.
Who's going to go at the back?
I will. I'll carry it. I'll hold the...
Okay.
I'll go just behind Sulfurex because I've got the dark vision. So,
as a thought, just when we're talking about torches, we don't have most of our gear with us because I have torches, but I'm assuming they're with the horses.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, they all got taken off.
You just wouldn't have brought it into a party.
Yeah. That's what I
Okay, so you make your way down the spiral staircase. You go a long way. It's not just going through the entire extent of the house, so down three or four floors, but it goes further, deep under the earth. The deeper you go, the damper it gets and the worse the smell gets. You get the impression that whatever fire ripped through the house, it may have started deep down in the basement. Eventually, the corridor, or the staircase, opens up into a thin, evil-smelling corridor, a few inches deep in black mud and stagnant water. It kind of like goes over your toes and your feet, sink deep into it.
I'm going to sort of, being a dwarf, I'm going to sort of run my hand over the stonework and try and get a sense of who may have built this or when it was built.
So the stonework itself is not so much stonework, but sort of reasonably expensive, but ancient and decaying brickwork, human-made. You're surprised that it's lasted this long, and you suspect that it's probably not very sturdy.
Okay.
And judging from the level of dampness and water dripping from the ceiling and the level of water on the floor, you suspect that there probably is maybe a lake or an underground water source or something nearby that's leaking into this underground subterranean labyrinth. So the corridor turns left and right at the end.
Well, lizard boy, you're in the front, carry on.
So I carry on strolling down the hallway here, and it looks like as I enter the end of the hallway, it opens up into a small 4x3 room with perhaps a bench in the middle of it, like a park bench.
So this room contains a plain wooden table flanked by long benches. Mouldy humanoid bones lie strewn on the dirt floor. Possibly the remains of some sort of vile banquet. There's a darkened alcove out to your left, a passageway to the straight in front of you, and a passageway to your right. You get a bad feeling about the passageway to get straight on.
As if the rest of this place doesn't give us a bad feeling already.
Yeah, exactly.
My tongue flicks out, and I'm tasting the air as my tongue keeps flicking out and tasting what's around. And I kind of smell and looking around, I decide to take my left.
So you step into the room and your feet sink a little bit further into the mud. So rather than like an inch or two deep, it's more like 3 or 4 inches deep in this sort of black cesspool that's filling this area. You maybe take a step forward and a skull spins round and looks up to you with a leering, static grin.
I bring my foot down and crush it.
It bites your foot.
Nice try.
Roll for sepsis.
All right, we're still marching.
So I guess I'm carrying a torch as well.
Yeah.
So I'm shielded in one arm and my torch held aloft in my other arm.
Sort of jostling at the back. It's like, are we going to continue?
The shadows dancing on the walls as I move through the empty, hollow corridors.
The corridor ends in a staircase going down 4 steps, and it is, I would guess, at the bottom, probably waist-deep in water.
So waist-deep in water for us is like over Saf's head.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride you like a pony, Bram.
I hold out with my shield, like a little platform that he can kind of sit on. I scoop him up with my shield.
He's like a parrot. He's going to just slap your shoulder.
And start wading through this water with the elf sitting upon my shield. And
halfling,
sorry.
Okay.
The other was like 7 foot tall.
So you get to the bottom of the stairs, and straight ahead there's another staircase disappearing down. At least you assume it does, because it's completely submerged, disappearing into blackness. So whatever room or rooms that leads to are completely submerged. To your left, the corridor carries on into darkness.
Has anyone got like some fenty or like really absorbent, you know, kitchen towels we can get this mopped up?
One towel is plenty.
I don't know. I could try greasing the water, maybe it will go away.
Wouldn't that just float on top though?
Yeah,
but any of those like stick insects that try to like go around the surface, they'd be fucked. Like roll deck save.
It depends how thick your grease is, really. I mean, could we stand upon the surface tension of the grease?
Let's move on. I'm assuming, like, how's Yurik faring with the water level?
It's waist deep. I'm a dwarf. I'm like 4.5 foot tall. It's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fine. That's really... Your beard is saturated.
It's up to his chin, and he's got his head craned upwards to avoid being drowned.
You guys are fishing for some PvP here.
Come at me. I've got the high ground on this fucking shield, my friend.
Okay, so... So Varex, as you sort of push your way through the waist-deep water, I'd like you to make me a perception check. Or if you don't have perception, then wisdom. Wow.
21.
Okay, so like directly in front of you, there is a pit trap. Obviously, it's completely submerged in water. It's just a darker hole against the darkness of the floor. You reckon it's about 5 foot wide.
And it appears to be a deep pit.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, I'm not sure we're going any further down here.
Have you ever heard of swimming?
5 foot for you is probably a step.
And it's in water, so you could just...
drift over it.
Yeah. Doggy paddle.
Did we want to have a look the other way before we push onwards, or do we just want to push onwards blindly without checking the other side?
My understanding is the other one, did the corridor actually submerge in water? I know it doesn't look like that from the map.
No, he means back to the main room.
He means this way.
Main room. Back to the main room and go down the other corridor.
I think we should carry on here.
Nothing bad's happened yet.
That's our
guys. Let me teach a thing or two about dying. That's what you say right before you die. I am well aware.
So far, so good, said the blind man halfway from falling off the cliff.
It's all fine. Don't worry. We're good. We're golden, baby.
So we're pushing onwards. Is that what everyone wants to do?
Yeah, sure. We'll go for it.
All right. I kind of swim like a crocodile across across the gap.
Okay, to your relief, you realise that to your left and straight on are two staircases, both going up and out of the sort of waist-deep water.
Okay, so I'm pushing forward, still holding the torch aloft with my right arm as I swim with my tail propelling me through the water.
Okay, so the corridor goes... the stairs go up 4 or 5 steps, so it's only kind of like an inch deep in water. It turns around on itself to the right, and the stairs, revealing a staircase, going down and down and down.
Is this below the water level?
Well,
now?
Looking down, it doesn't seem to be submerged, so wherever it's going into is... or at least seems to be, from what you can see, to be watertight.
So for the other podcast, we've come up out of this flooded corridor, up a kind of plateau and down a dry staircase.
Yeah, and this staircase is going down and down, very, very deep.
Okay.
Should we press onwards?
Perhaps we should now check the rest of this level.
It could be a plan, yeah. I'm with Auric on this.
So you want to double back and check the rest?
Well, for me, I think the way we're sort of done now, I'm just about on that plateau, so for me it's just to turn left and walk up the other set of stairs out of the puddle.
The set of stairs to your left, 2 or 3 steps up, is the little ghost boy saying, just turn back, the monster's here. It's not far, and somewhere around here are my father's friends, I think. won't be happy that you've come down here. You're not meant to be down here.
You're not meant to be down here.
There's the old reverse psychology.
I sort of the other about 5-10 feet away. I sort of did anyone else see us at this time?
They didn't. And when you turn back, he's gone.
The little boy is telling me not to go this way. Maybe we should listen this time?
He did tell us not to go into the attic. Well, you almost died.
Unless he tells us the way out, I'm sick of this dickhead. Like, anyone else just like, is he giving us any help?
Seth's got a point.
I kind of like the little boys, like, you know.
To be fair, every time he has told us we are about to die, we have almost died.
Yeah, but he hasn't given us any alternative solutions.
Well, we in that sentence, yeah. I don't know about you,
he's,
but I'm
he's
okay.
Full of warnings, but where's the solutions, though?
If he's not part of the solution, he's part of the problem. We should shoot him.
Load your crossbow. We're going ghost hunting.
a look of utter sort of just crosses the Luke's face. He sort of gets his hammer up, loosens himself up. Let's try this again.
I'm not saying killing kids is right. But that kid's a bad kid. He might have had it coming.
I don't think it's murder if they're already dead.
I slap the halfling around the back of the head.
Hey. That's the spirit. Get used to hitting small tree with things.
So
keep that energy going.
Shall we redeploy behind me this time, I guess, heading in this other direction?
Well, if we're heading back in that other direction, you're gonna be in front. Yep. So yeah.
Let's go.
I will head up this corridor slowly.
Okay, so again your feet are sinking into the sort of sodden earth. And when you look down, you see that it's filled with worms or maggots or some sort of horrible crawling. Well, actually, when you look, it's not. It's just earth. But the feeling that something is crawling around you is almost too difficult to ignore.
Can we say leeches?
No. It's not Stand By Me. To your left, the corridor goes back to the dining room. To your right, the corridor disappears into darkness. And it also carries on in front of you.
Keeping in mind the pit trap that we just found, I carry on forward, but I am sort of just taking my hammer and just giving the odd tap in front of me as I carry on, just to make sure that there's nothing underneath the sludge that's going to bite me.
Okay, so are you going straight on?
I am going to go straight on, yes. Slowly and carefully.
Okay, so the corridor. So as you sort of walk over something, it feels solid and unstable, like you've stepped on something that wasn't stone. You step forward, and behind you, a horrendous creature drags itself out of the dirt. It's the emaciated corpse, at least 100 years old. You jump back in surprise to realize that next to you, another corpse is dragging itself from the charnel dirt. Another corpse drags itself out, and you realize before you have time to move that there are four hideous, ghoulish shapes of ex-cultists pulling themselves from the dirt around you. Can you all roll for initiative, please?
This kid's a real dick. Can we agree to not listen to this kid anymore?
He did say
turn
back.
Well, to be fair, you haven't been listening to him the entire campaign, so...
I got 6. Fuck.
I got a 17. 18.
Nice. Sylvarix?
19, wow.
And the hideous, emaciated, rotting corpses get...
Fuck, no.
19. Okay, so Varex, what's your dexterity?
Dexterity of 0. Okay. The total of 10, to be fair.
So the rotting corpses go first. So one moves forwards and launches itself at Voron. It sort of steps into the middle of the crossroads where Voron is standing. It launches with its claws.
I'm dead. I'm
100% dead. That scores a critical hit. So critical hit, you roll for damage twice, is that right?
I thought it was just max damage.
It's max damage.
So it's not. You roll for damage twice. So
either way, he does do like zero damage to kill me anyway. I'm dead.
So 18 points of damage.
Ooh, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm dead.
So what's your max hit points? Is it, so 12?
12, yeah.
So to go to be dead in one shot, you'd have to go to minus 12.
Yeah, well, I'm unconscious.
So you're unconscious and rolling death saves. Okay, you're surrounded, Ulrich, by two of them, because you're right at the end of the corridor, separated from the others by about 20 foot. The first one rolls an 18, so 20 to hit.
Oh, fuck's sake, yes.
My rolls tonight are on fire.
They're always on fire, you fucking
Jesus,
bollocks.
11 points of damage.
Don't worry, boys, I got this.
And
pop knuckles.
And leaving you to your death, the second one moves forward to engage Saf and Sulvarex. Out of the darkness, another one appears. So, Saf, you're at the kind of top of the stairs. In front of you, you can see the four ghoulish figures crawling out of the darkness. You can also see the unconscious figures of Ulrich and of Voron.
So is there any green exit signs in here?
Maybe? There's one right behind you.
Yeah, exits we'll find here, 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 and here.
No, fuck that. Right. Right, I'm definitely going to take a couple of steps back behind my giant lizard friend. Like, to somewhere here. Assuming I can still see around the corner, can I?
Yeah.
And just take a pot shot at the first guy. Because he's unconscious, my friend, so I don't have a sneak attack. So D20 plus 5 with my crossbow, I'm going to aim at the first guy, basically right in the middle of his chest. I rolled a 17.
That's a hit.
So 1d6 plus 5. If only we had some sort of spiritual weapon to help us. Oh my god, I rolled a 6 and a 1d6 plus 5.
Nice. Okay. Well, not
nice.
But,
yeah. Not nice at all. Okay. It's nice.
It kind of like it does hit it, but sort of strikes against his side, then flicks off down the corridor. Are you going to stay? So you've already used half your movement to get behind Sulvarex. Do you want to move any further? You're currently you're in the water right now. So
I'm staying that close, just behind him.
Okay. Sulvarex.
Right, okay, so are the positions where they are right now are the positions that are attacking?
Yep, so you're kind of at the bottom of the stairs. Saf is right behind you, kind of almost submerged in the water. Ahead of you, you can see two of these ghouls and the unconscious forms of the wizard. And in the distance, you can see the dwarf.
How deep is the water here?
So where you are now, you're like halfway up the stairs, so it's like by your knees.
Right, okay. Is there any sort of form of torch holders or anything that would be able to hold a torch?
Definitely, yeah. There's probably a bracket both to your left and to your right.
Yeah.
In fact, there's probably even torches to your left and right, so you could light them with your lit torch.
So, I'm going to light a couple of the torches, and I'm going to retreat back behind the corner.
So you jump into this fetid water with a splash. Are you going kind of like to your right, where the stairs go up and then down to where you haven't explored? Or are you going back towards the pit?
I'm going to go back towards the pit.
Okay, like you can move. So on the map, you can move like 6 squares if you want to.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 should be enough.
I'm going to have to be a bit of a dick here. I think this is probably difficult terrain, so it's half movement. So you can move 3 squares.
Well, that would put me just over the pit, I'm guessing.
So you could be like treading water above it if you want. Or no, you're dressed in like heavy plate, so I'm gonna have to say you're in the square before it.
My idea that I'm thinking of is to force them into an area where they have to cross the pit and then fight them whilst they're over this pit. So if they falter, then they shall fall.
Okay, so top of the round, the ghouls are going to launch themselves forward, and they're going to jump straight down the stairs, at least the first one is, where he sees Saf mostly submerged in water. There's going to be another ghoul right behind him. The other two are going to disappear off into the darkness.
Oh, I know where they're going.
They head towards the original room.
Yeah.
Okay, so Saf, the first ghoul on you does a... Oh, Jesus, 21 to hit. So he does 7 points of damage.
Oh, I can take 7 points of damage in my sleep. That's half my hit points.
What? Okay, his dirty claws rip through you.
Is this the halfling ghoul?
The other one's like, he's trying to get to you, but he can't, like, because the other ghoul's in the way. So we are, next is, am I right to say Sulfarix with 19? Mm-hmm.
No, oh yeah, sorry. Hold up, No.
I think we messed up initiative last round. So it is Ghouls on 19 with highest dexterity, Sulfarix on 19, Saf on 18, Ulrich on 17, and Foran with 6.
Well, you can have Sulfarix still again if you want.
So Sulfarix,
he should have went first last time, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to strike this zombie, and I kind of make an attack upon this rotting, smelly...
All right, zombie. Speed it up.
Okay, and I will do... Kapow!
Whoa.
24... Okay. So hopefully that, otherwise I'm in deep shit. And it does a total damage of... right, okay. Yeah, 11 damage is fine.
Okay, you have cleaved this straight in half and it collapses to the ground, sort of twitching and juddering.
And I let out a triumphant roar as his two halves fall.
So, looking up the stairs, like you're kind of still like only your chin poking up above the water, you see this kind of slavering ghoul stood on the body of your sort of wizard companion, squishing his face into inch deep dirt.
10 feet ahead of me, that's happening. And then about 15 feet past that, I can also see my dwarven friend struggling. So I'm going to try and run through.
Your dwarven friend's just like face down in the water.
Yeah, I'm going to try and run to him.
Okay, so...
because of I'm a
sounds
halfling,
like
I can
a Brian
pass.
Adams song.
Because I'm a halfling, I can run through the square of a larger creature.
It will provoke an attack of opportunity.
So, that's a risk I'm willing to
like,
take.
As you sort of dive through his legs, he's going to try and strike you.
Please, God, let's be the one that fails.
Okay, who are you and what have you done with the real Owen?
18 to hit.
I may have died valiantly, guys. My armor class.
Well done, Matt. I've rolled double sixes.
Oh,
14 yeah. damage.
So I get 5 feet and drop.
So you kind of dive forward valiantly, and I'm going to give you inspiration if you survive for your bravery as you get
That's
knocked,
fucking no good to me now.
Knocked down to minus 6.
Why are you giving me inspiration for my bravery? Can I not just use it now?
Okay.
That's one, Dave, and that's all you're ever getting. I tried.
All right.
All you're ever getting off me.
Death save, please.
I can't save you all. Fucking stop dying, everyone.
Success.
Yeah, Dave lives.
Success. No, you need to get 3. Okay, so Voron. So that's a failure. Sulfarix, the ghoul, launches itself forward, diving into the murky water with a splash, and strikes forward.
How can he dive so far forward and still attack?
So he's only run 10 out of 30 feet.
It's also a move action, then an attack action.
Yeah, so his first hit is a... He rolls a 7, and I'm guessing that's a miss.
That might be a little bit weak against my armor.
Okay, so he's also going to try and bite you, doing a 15 to hit.
Still a little bit weak.
Okay, can you also roll perception for me, please?
Motherfucker. Perception coming in at a total of 17.
Okay, from somewhere behind you, you hear splashing water as the other two ghouls are approaching.
Copy that.
And it's your go.
Right. This motherfucker's gonna die. I swing my sword at the zombie that launched its attack so fiercely upon my shield, pushing it off of my shield and making a striking at the same time from bottom to top, cleaving my sword through its body. I roll a total of 20 to hit.
Okay, so that's definitely a hit.
And 8 damage.
Okay, so you've bloodied it. But it only seems angrier.
I also...
Like, you can move away, but it will provoke an attack of opportunity.
I was going to ask if I can use Divine Smite.
You have one use left.
Yeah, go for it. You've only got one left.
That's a risk I'm willing to take at this point. And that is a 20.
So you don't need to roll to hit with Divine Smite. It just adds additional damage to your hit.
Okay.
2d8.
So it's 2d8 damage, basically.
And that's a 7.
Okay, nice. Okay, so your sword glows in a whistling, glowing arc, a beacon of light filling the corridor with divine godliness, striking the creature and knocking it to the ground, but it claws itself back up, barely alive and ready to fight onwards. Saf, can I have your death save?
Holy shit, is it still up?
19.
19 is a pass. Ulrich, can I have your death save?
16! Two successes!
Oh, nice. Okay. And Boron, can I have your death save? Oh, okay, so that's 2 fails. One more. Okay.
This is Boron, signing off!
We are top of the round. The ghoul that is directly in front of you that you've just divine smited launches its dirty, filthy claws towards you with a 21 to hit.
That would connect.
Doing 6 points of damage.
Okay.
And from behind you, you see 2 more ghouls appear from the darkness. The first one launches out forward, it jumps, and with a slurp, disappears down the pit trap. The second one stands behind the gap, unsure of what's just happened. It's going to roll an intelligence test. In fact, a wisdom test. And to think with a 9, it also disappears down the pit trap.
Hey!
The water's like splashing and roiling as they're trying to swim their way back up. But for now, you are faced with just one apparition. Sylvarex, it's your go.
And again, I will take arms to the... ensuing undead. So I am going to slash into the zombie with every ounce of what I have left.
Which is evidently not very much.
So, your sword crashes into its, forearm and it blocks your blade and then prepares to counterattack. So, first of all, can I have Saf, your death save?
Will be a 13.
That is a success. Golden. So 2 successes. Ulrich, can I have your death save?
Come on, fuck's sake, it's a 3.
So 2 successes and 1 fail.
And drum roll, please.
Oh,
Hey, for fuck's sakes.
And
I got a natural one, guys. I got a natural one. So, Boron is dead.
So with a final sort of like sigh, you collapse face down in the water. There's a few like trickles of bubbles that float up, and you disappear into blackness. Thanks again for listening. Next week's finale is available right now to all of our supporters at patreon.com/howweroll podcast. And thank you everyone who supports the show. We literally couldn't do it without you. Before we go, we want to say another huge thank you to Zombie Slag for your awesome iTunes review. We want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has liked our Facebook page, as we've just passed 300 likes. And lastly, we want to say a big thank you to Anubis Sammer for his hilarious recaps on our Reddit thread, and for everyone who has posted there and helped build that community. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or even criticisms, we're very active on Twitter @HWRPodcast, and you can also find us on the aforementioned Facebook and Reddit pages. Finally, we have a huge announcement. On Saturday, the 13th of May, Owen and I will be playing an all-star Dungeons & Dragons game featuring the vocal talents of Aram from Godsfall, James D'Amato from the One Shot Podcast, and Mike from the RPG Academy. We will be streaming live on our Twitch channel from 7 p.m. GMT, which I believe is about 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will also be fully producing this recording, which will be due for release in July, if not earlier. It's going to be great fun, so do come and join us. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.